We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Monday, November 29th, 2010, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 2 hours of news, talk, interviews, information, music, comedy, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community, coming to you live and direct from Rolla J Studios here in beautiful Potland, Oregon. Joining me here in the studios, as always, our engineer and board operator, Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good after this weekend. You know, Boise State lost, the Ducks won.
I did not have the best of Thanksgiving weekends.
No.
Thursday, Boise State loses. Thursday was Thanksgiving, right? Friday they lose. Saturday, Willie Nelson gets busted. Sunday, the Packers lose. I am not happy about this Thanksgiving weekend. My God, I need a new 4-day weekend. But we're back here with all the latest news and information for those of you listening here on Normal Show Live. Also joining us from our virtual studio in beautiful Grastoria, Oregon, is Cannabis Carey.
Only a few would say it's beautiful today, me being one of them.
It's cold and it's gray and all my football teams lost and I don't know what I'm going to have to do to cheer myself up, but I'll find something. Hey, I have an idea. How about some of this? Yeah, that might work. Anyway, on our show today, we are going to be going all the way to the big sky country of Montana. We're speaking at half past the hour with John Masterson, the executive director of Normal's statewide affiliate there, Montana Normal. And we're talking about the backlash against medical marijuana in Montana. A terrible, terrible story just made the wires today that's going to make it even worse. And we'll talk to John all about that. At 45 past the hour, a little radical ranting. We're going to talk about Willie Nelson's bust and the emerging teapot party. I love the idea. We'll talk about that at 45 after. At 20 after, we have got our Daily Toker Tunes. It's Roots Monday. We're going to dig deep into the vaults for some reefer jazz for you. But before we get to all of that, we start with our hemp headlines and Cannabis Carey. What's in the news today?
Well, of course, unless you had your computer and your telephone and your TV off like I did most of the break, yes, a celebrity on our advisory board did get busted. I'm going to cover that. I'm going to let you cover the teapot Facebook campaign later in the show. We're also going to go to Colorado where they're trying to do some regulations. And we've got a story from our home state, not just our home state, our home city, Russ. So that'll be exciting.
Oh, excellent. We'll also cover some information coming from Southern Oregon, John. Home area too on their summer task force, and that's all coming up here in this first hour, which is available by podcast on iTunes. Just look in the government and organization section. We're always ranked in the top 10 or 20. Should be able to find us, or you can get us at our blog at stash.normal.org, where you can have play on demand or download for your MP3 player. Hour two is Toker Talk Radio, your live calls and all that coming up next.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Georgia, Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's NORML News with Cannabis Carry.
Willie Nelson was charged with possession of marijuana on Friday after a routine checkpoint stop in Sierra Blanca, Texas, about 85 miles east of El Paso. The music legend and longtime cannabis activist was stopped around 9 a.m. when a Hudspeth County sheriff noticed a suspicious odor on the bus. A quick search turned up 6 ounces of marijuana. Nelson, who turned 77 this year, claimed that the marijuana was all his. Nelson, along with 3 other people on his tour bus, were arrested at the scene and then later released after paying a $2,500 bond. Nelson's longtime harmonica player, Mickey Raphael, told Rolling Stone magazine that Nelson told him today he feels great. He lost 6 ounces. Nelson was traveling from California to his ranch in Austin, Texas at the time of the arrest, and it's not expected to affect his current touring schedule. Now, this is not the first time Willie Nelson has been on the wrong end of the law when it comes to an illegal substance. In Louisiana in 2006, 1.5 pounds of marijuana and 3 ounces of hallucinogenic mushrooms were found on his tour bus. He pleaded guilty on that case and was sentenced to 6 months probation and a $1,024 fine. In 1995, Nelson was arrested in Waco, Texas, after he pulled off the road to sleep after an all-night poker game. A police stopped and saw a joint in the car's ashtray, and Willie confessed that there was a small amount of marijuana on the car's floorboards. Nelson is on the advisory board for NORML and has worked for decades to end the prohibition of marijuana. He has recorded and produced radio and television commercials urging Americans to help end cannabis prohibition in the U.S., and he also hosted a 2005 benefit gold tournament for NORML at his personal golf course in Spicewood, Texas. Now, if convicted of the charge, he could face 6 months in a Texas prison and up to 2 years. TMZ, who picked up the story, quoted Bruce Margolin of L.A. NORML, who says that Willie may try to convince a jury that he forgot that the Californian marijuana was on the bus and that in California the marijuana he was busted with was medical and legal. Now, we'll keep monitoring the story and bring you any new developments.
No, what it is that it's Willie freaking Nelson. That's what it is. Hey, I got to call an audible here. I'm going to redo my rant at the end of the show. I'm going to rant about Willie Nelson right now because I got to get this out. I mean, is this what we've come to in our reefer madness here? Is that the Hudspeth County Sheriff, Arvin West, told the El Paso Times, quote, "It's kind of surprising, but I mean, we treat him like anybody else. He could get 180 days in county jail. If he does, I'm going to make him cook and clean." End quote. This is what we've come to. You want to give 77-year-old Willie Nelson 6 months in jailbird stripes. And wasn't it just a little while ago we were holding 72-year-old Tommy Chong in a cell for selling bongs on the internet? How'd that work out? Oh, yeah, you took a Canadian comedian who had never really been very serious about marijuana law reform and forged him into a strongly outspoken activist, leading to the Cheech and Chong reunion and the Get It Legal tour. Great work. Now your bust of Willie Nelson has energized his supporters and once again brought into sharp focus the insanity of marijuana's illegality. In correspondence with our friend Steve Bloom at celebstoner.com, Willie calls for a new political movement. Willie Nelson says, quote, "There's the Tea Party. How about the Teapot Party? Our motto? We lean a little to the left. Tax it, regulate it, and legalize it. And stop the border wars over drugs. Why should the drug lords make all the money? Thousands of lives will be saved," end quote. Willie Nelson's Tea Party Facebook page now has over 7,800 supporters and climbing. Willie Nelson and Tommy Chong, still touring in their late 70s, in Willie's case, early 70s in Tommy's case, still vibrant and sharp. These guys are the best advertisement in the world for the safety of marijuana. It's not like you meet a whole bunch of septuagenarian crackheads, junkies, and tweakers, do you? And furthermore, Willie was busted at a border patrol checkpoint. These checkpoints ostensibly are used to fight illegal immigration and terrorist threats, but since the Supreme Court has ruled that suspicionless roadside drug checkpoints are unconstitutional, what's really happening here is these border patrol checkpoints are the prohibitionist backdoor loophole for catching traveling cannabis consumers. Now, Willie's checkpoint was 30 miles from the border in Sierra Blanca, which might sound a little confusing because, you know, shouldn't a border patrol checkpoint be, say, I don't know, at the border? Nope. In fact, these border patrol checkpoints can be set up to 100 miles away from the Mexican or Canadian borders. That means federal police could be setting up roadblocks in Anaheim, Tucson, Seattle, or Cleveland, just to name a few non-border cities within 100 miles of the Canadian or the Mexican border, and they could search your car without probable cause to believe you're committing a crime. A 100-mile zone from the Canadian and Mexican border means there is almost 750,000 square miles in America where the federal cops can ignore your constitutional rights simply because you choose to travel.
And a group of protesters smoked marijuana openly in downtown Boise, Idaho on Saturday. Woohoo! An event organized on MySpace by activist Teresa Knox, the director of research and networking for Moms for Marijuana International. Now, Boise police knew about the event and were there to monitor the event, but they didn't make any arrests. The group of about 20 protesters stood on a busy street downtown holding up signs that said legalize cannabis, among others. Cars driving by honked in support of the group, and police did several drive-bys and had two officers walk through the event to ask people to stay off the street for their own safety. A small handful of our participants lit up joints and passed them around. But according to the police, they did not witness any open smoking and they received no formal complaints. So that's the reason that none of the protesters were arrested. Many of the protesters opted out of smoking cannabis in public, but those that did told local reporters that they knew it was a crime and understood that they may be arrested for their civil disobedience. Miss Knox, the most vocal participant and the organizer of the event, told Idaho News Channel 7 that the event was not a joke, saying, quote, "That's exactly why we're out here, because if we forever hide this, then we will be forever hiding this. Somebody's got to step up and say, hey, look, I'm smoking a joint and it's not hurting anyone." She went on to say that the only reason there is any harm stemming from cannabis use is because cannabis is in the hands of cartels and police. She wanted to show people that the group was outside publicly smoking and no one was negatively affected by the group of people standing on the side of Front Street smoking a few joints. The event was part of a larger protest called the Global Smokeout that was planned in various cities. Knox told media, quote, "Our public smokeout was a message to the government that the American public will no longer comply with cannabis prohibition. We are not ashamed, we are not ignorant, we are not lazy, and we won't stop until the prohibition of cannabis is lifted."
That's great work by Teresa Knox and also Sarah Frank out there in Idaho with Moms for Marijuana. I've met both these activists, and they are very dedicated and very serious. We couldn't ask for two better people in the state of Idaho to be leading this civil disobedience.
And Colorado is working towards regulating production and sale of medical marijuana for the approximately 100,000 Coloradans that use it legally. According to the Denver Post, medical marijuana patients currently have no way to verify a dispensary's claim that certain products are organic or even the potency of a particular product. Full Spectrum Laboratories in Denver currently does voluntary marijuana analysis for about 100 growers and dispensaries, but says that the marijuana industry standards are needed. Regulators in the state would have a tough time carving out standards and regulations for a product that, although used widely for centuries, has never been scrutinized or safety tested by an industry before. New Mexico is the only state that has product regulations written into their medical marijuana law. New Mexico requires marijuana products to be labeled by strain and potency and is planning by the end of the year to allow health inspectors to review samples, but currently none of the other states that allow medical marijuana regulate how it's grown. Industry leaders in Colorado say that it is time for cannabis consumers to know what they are smoking, and producers should have to maintain safety regulations to sell marijuana to a dispensary, such as pesticide limits. Dr. Alan Shackelford is a Denver physician who is heading up Colorado's effort to write labeling and safety regulations for medical marijuana. Regulators hope to have some sort of labeling and inspection standard for cannabis sold commercially early next year. Some of the questions they're asking is, should marijuana sellers be able to attach medical claims to their products? Do they need to cite research research to back up a claim that a certain strain of pot is better for a particular disorder? Should all medical marijuana be labeled by potency, including edibles? Should the state be allowed to tell growers what kinds of chemicals, such as pesticides or fertilizers, can be used on the plants? Should those be limited as they are for food and tobacco? There are state agencies that routinely inspect farms, restaurants, and pharmaceutical factories. Who should be allowed to inspect growers? And some questions for the lawyers as well. What happens if someone gets sick from medical marijuana? Should growing operations have guidelines to limit contamination, such as mildew and mold, and are they liable for their product? For now, the committee to establish regulations will probably start off by borrowing federal tobacco regulations for chemical limits for products used in material to be smoked, and they will likely call on medical marijuana growers to submit a random sample for state testing. They may also tackle rules for labeling marijuana products as organic this first time out, and possibly include the nation's first guidelines for the safe production of hash. Hash is sometimes made using plastics that can leave carcinogenics as residue.
Well, this is good that the industry is stepping forward to want to label these things. I think we do need labeling with THC potency, the THC-CBD ratios, some of the other constituent cannabinoids would be nice to know. I don't know about making claims about which strain will help which condition, because there's really no genetic reliability from one strain to another. I mean, you know, grape kush that you're getting in one state could be completely different than what you're getting in another state. But I think this is a step in the right direction.
And one more from the Medford Mail Tribune. A team formed to fight suspected drug cartels growing marijuana in southern Oregon forests removed 125,787 pot plants with an estimated value of more than $283 million this summer, according to a final tally publicly released Saturday by team organizers. The Southern Oregon Multi-Agency Marijuana Eradication and Reclamation Team, or SUMMER, which covers Jackson, Josephine, Coos, Curry, Douglas, Klamath, and Lake counties, yanked nearly 70% of the total number of plants destroyed in Oregon this year, a report of the team's first year, they said. It was definitely a success, Jackson County Sheriff Department spokeswoman Andrea Carlson noted. The team got another infusion of grants in midsummer, and additional funding continues to trickle in now as unspent eradication money from other agencies is redistributed by the Oregon Department of Justice. He said the federal eradication grants will cover more than half of summer's expenses, and other state and federal sources are being tapped to help pay for the effort. The seven counties pulled out more than 55,000 pot plants in 2009 and hope to remove 100,000 this year. Carlson said the 125,000 plants removed topped that goal and accounted for the majority of the 184,000 plants that the Oregon Department of Justice reported were seized statewide in 2010.
Uh-huh. All right.
You didn't get me.
Didn't get John. Let's examine this success, shall we? We spent $600,000 of taxpayer money to pay cops to pull weeds at the cost of $4 a weed. A weed that cost 4 cents to plant. Meanwhile, according to the FBI's Uniform Crime Report, the clearance rate in Oregon for murders is 56% and for rapes is 27.5%. Success? The cops pulled over 125,000 immature marijuana plants. Meanwhile, the state will produce over 1 million mature plants outdoors, even after interdictions and seizures, and produce $500 million in value in an untaxed criminal black market, making it the largest cash crop in the state over hay and wheat. Success? Marijuana, allegedly worth $283 million, when finally harvested, cured, trimmed, separated, bagged, and sold, worth considerably less when their seedlings are vegetative, was interdicted. Meanwhile, according to priceofweed.com, Oregon still has the lowest-priced high-grade marijuana in America. Success? One out of eight Oregon adults, according to the National Surveys on Drug Use and Health, will use cannabis this year, and we will spend $61.5 million Oregon taxpayer dollars arresting 300 marijuana users per month, and we will take in zero tax dollars from those consumers. Meanwhile, Oregon has a billion-dollar budget deficit. Success? Federal grant money creates jobs and overtime hours for cops in Jackson, Josephine, Coos, Curry, Douglas, Klamath, and Lake counties who get to fly around in helicopters and shoot people. Ah, there's the success. Oh, and in case you're wondering, there are no federal grants for local law enforcement agencies to go after murder, rape, theft, or any other criminals. Just drug task forces. That's right. Federal money comes in to pay cops $4 a weed to go out into the southern Oregon forests and pull marijuana plants and harvest them in helicopters and fly them around and take them somewhere and burn them. paying cops overtime pay. Meanwhile, we're only solving a little more than half the murders and a little more than a quarter of the rapes. If that's the law enforcement definition of success, we need to buy them a new dictionary. End the prohibition of marijuana. Put cops' time and money towards solving real crimes.
I think it's time for a break from with Southern Oregon's finest.
Yeah, right, I think now we should take some of this fine Southern Oregon cannabis that wasn't seized by the cops and do some quality
testing.
It's
20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? Reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.normal.org or call toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we bring you tunes for Roots Monday, our celebration of the music that evolved into the popular modern music of today. We pick the best of blues, country, folk, and jazz with a 420 feel and serve it up for you every Monday. Brought to you by Cannabis Carry in Astoria, Oregon, and CannabisFantastic.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Normal Show Live coming at you with our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tune, and this is the chance for Cannabis Carrie to do double duty. In addition to handling our hemp headlines, she takes care of these great Roots Monday tunes. So what do we got in the old hopper today, Carrie?
Well, today we're going back for some traditional reefer jazz from the early 1900s, and it's from a singer, Trixie Smith, and she was an African-American blues singer. She was born in Atlanta, Georgia, and was reported to have studied at Selma University in Alabama, but we don't have any for sure about that. Sometimes around 1915, she moved to New York to work in show business, and she began in minstrel shows and on the vaudeville circuit. Now, it's in vaudeville where she became a featured vocalist, and in 1922, she made her first recording for the Black Swan label, and later that year she won a blues singing contest in New York, sponsored by the white dance team of Vernon and Irene Castle. Smith is best remembered today for her gritty vocals and the excellent jazz band that accompanied her on her records. The records were often released under the name of Trixie Smith and her down-home syncopators, which was usually either Fletcher Henderson and his orchestra or the all-white group, the Original Memphis Five. She appeared in four movies during the 1930s, and she died in New York in 1943 after a brief illness at age 48. Trixie recorded a session for Decca Records in 1938 that featured Sidney Bechet, and this recording is from that legendary session. So here is Trixie Smith in her toker-friendly tune, Jack, I'm Mellow.
Thank you. engaged, I'm on a rampage. Jack, I'm mellow, I'm so high and so dry. I'm way up in the sky. The world seems light and I'm so right. Jack, I'm mellow. I'm gonna put my nickel in a slot machine and play my solid cinder. I'm gonna start packing Susie Q. Cause I'm on a bender. I'm so high and so dry. I'm sailing in the sky. I got my ropes around, I can't come down.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't care. It's 420 somewhere.
Time for Normal's Cannabis Community Calendar, which you can find at normal.org/calendar. Tomorrow, Tuesday, November 30th, there is a weekly medicating event at the Phoenix Cafe in Hazel Park, Michigan. And the Greater Torch Lake Area Compassion Club in Alden, Michigan will be meeting as well. Hemp TV is on the air in Albuquerque, New Mexico. You can call them at 505-880-0666 for tickets to the show. On Wednesday, December 1st, the Grand Traverse Compassion Connection meeting is happening in Traverse City, Michigan. Check out gtcompassionconnection.org for more details. Coming up this weekend, the Normal Key West Legal Seminar is taking place in Key West, Florida. Information is available at normal.org, and continuing legal education credits are available for professional attorneys. We also want to announce this Wednesday, December 1st, John Doe Radio goes live daily. John Doe Radio with live call-ins and live news, and hopefully John will call in the second hour. We'll talk a little bit about the new expansion for the greatest marijuana podcast in the Rocky Mountain area. Also, coming up this weekend, we've got Saturday, December 4th, Cleveland Normal is having their December meetup at Sidetracks Cafe in Cleveland, Ohio. And on Sunday, Mile High Normal in Denver, Colorado is meeting at the Colorado Progressive Coalition. For more information on all of these events, you can check out our cannabis community calendar. And don't forget, next weekend, Denver's KushCon takes place. Well, not next weekend, two weekends away. Denver's KushCon takes place 17th, 18th, and 19th of December. I will be there doing a co-broadcast with John Doe Radio, and we'll be bringing you live streaming of all 3 days of the events. Get all the information at our public calendar at normal.org/calendar.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 20s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stop arresting law-abiding citizens because they prefer marijuana over alcohol. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. We're unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people each year simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They're average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join NORML today at norml.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they will keep no malice.
The healing marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say,
free the marijuana.
Hear me, hear me, hear me, say,
free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say,
free the marijuana.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the marijuana smokers lobby, NORML hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call NORML Newsmakers.
Welcome back, everyone. NORML Show live, and we are joined on the telephone from Montana by John Masterson, the executive director of Montana NORML. John, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, glad to have you here. Thanks for joining us. I wanted to get you on the air today because I had seen a rather alarming headline. But before we get to that story, I wanted to do a little bit of setup and talk about the state of Montana and the medical marijuana law that you have there. I've been following the elections, and I followed some Republican lawmakers who had won big in Montana talking about wanting to repeal the Montana medical marijuana law. So I was hoping that you could give us a little bit of information about what's happening in the state of Montana and the state of your medical marijuana law.
Sure. Well, in 2004, Montana voters went to the polls and voted with by the greatest margin at the time, 52%, to approve medical marijuana in the state. The program basically allows patients with a debilitating medical condition defined in the law to grow up to six plants and or designate a caregiver who can grow six plants on his or her behalf. What has happened in the interim is that because there were no limits on how many patients a single caregiver could have, there are dozens of caregivers who have hundreds of patients and have quite large marijuana farms. Mm. The other thing that happened in 2009 and the spring of this year was the infamous cannabis caravans, in which a couple of Winnebagos were driving around the state and signing up to 1,000 people in a day. Mm. That gave rise to a rash of really alarmist media coverage in the daily papers in the six or so major cities in Montana. And there was a poll just conducted just before the election that said that medical marijuana may not pass if it were to be voted on again right now.
Wow.
And then came the election of early this month, which was pretty much catastrophic for marijuana advocates, some progressive candidates who supported medical marijuana and were expected to win, did not in fact win, and both houses of our state legislature are now dominated by Republicans. Mm. Well, so it's going to be a defensive battle in the legislature this year.
Yeah, and we've been reporting, you know, we do our headlines every day, and when a story comes across our wires from Montana, we report it. You know, we had the disturbing stories of dispensaries being firebombed in Montana, the Republican being quoted as saying he wanted to repeal the Montana medical marijuana law. So these seem to be the stories that are fueling the backlash against medical marijuana in the state of Montana. Let's talk about these traveling caravans. You say they were loading up Winnebagos and just taking doctors from, you know, small town to small town. Is that the basic idea?
That's right, from small towns and big, and they would rent warehouses or hotel conference facilities or gymnasiums, and just basically line up people out the door, and people would stand in line to visit with a doctor for a couple of minutes, get their and pay $100, and it is assumed pretty much universally get their cards. This sort of like cattle moving through a line to get the cards really struck a lot of the public, I think, as not a medical phenomenon at all. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it looked like to a lot of people like a whole lot of recreation or social or spiritual pot smokers who were showing up to get legal.
Yeah. Now Montana's law does have a qualifying condition list. Isn't there requirements on, you know, certain medical records that need to be seen, or can these people just go to this thing, go through the line, say they have some condition, and then get their card?
Well, they need to sit with a doctor. They don't need to sit with the doctor. A doctor needs to certify in writing that the patient suffers from one of the qualifying conditions, one of which is chronic pain. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the vast majority of registered patients have cited chronic pain as their ailment.
Okay. Now, it went from that, it progressed from these traveling caravans and these cattle calls for medical marijuana to a story that we reported on earlier this month about the Montana Medical Board citing that a Skype conference call, like a video chat, can't be considered a visit. How prevalent was the use of video chatting to get people their medical cards?
Well, after the significant bad press concerning the cannabis caravans, the entity that was running that operation, Montana Caregivers Network, and now rebranded Cannabis Care, began offering what they called teleclinic, which was basically a Skype connection, a webcam to chat with a doctor. And now the medical board has just they haven't outlawed it per se, but it is grounds for a complaint.
Okay. And then that sets up the table here for the story that just broke this weekend or pretty recently. Coming out of Missoula, I got this line from the AP that says, a search of the offices of an outspoken medical marijuana provider turned up 729 medical marijuana recommendation forms apparently signed by physicians with no patient information filled in. This was reported on Wednesday, and it's that same Montana Caregivers Network you mentioned. So keeping pre-signed forms, having doctor signatures, and I assume these are the state recommendation forms, and then filling them out afterwards, this is another thing that's a big black eye to the Montana medical marijuana movement.
It sure is. And the background on this is that the reason that they had the search warrant ostensibly is that three employees of the Montana Caregivers Network filed a wrongful termination suit against its owner, Jason Crist, earlier this year. The lawsuit alleges that they had quit their jobs because they were being directed to do unethical and unlawful things, such as collect pre-signed forms from doctors and then use those pre-signed forms to approve patients that had been denied by the doctor.
Oh.
Additionally, they allege that they were instructed to check the chronic pain box for all patients, regardless of what condition they reported. The lawsuit alleges that Jason Crist, in frustration at not being able to get into his cannabis caravan venues at the time that he wanted to, he would call 911 and demand that bolts be cut, et cetera, to let them in facilities that he was leasing. It alleges that he regularly would smoke marijuana while driving employees, while driving Winnebago. He was the one driving and smoking. It alleges that he made death threats against a caregiver in Michigan.
Wow.
And so that lawsuit is ongoing. It's in the discovery process now. And he's not a lawyer, but he is representing himself.
Wow.
It's also alleged that he instructed staff to alter checks and public records.
Boy, you know what they say about a man who chooses to represent himself in court has a fool for a client.
Has a fool for a client, right. Right. Yeah. And then there's been a few humorous stories about court appearances in which in which Jason Christom apparently didn't understand what the purpose of that particular proceeding was, and so the judge had to interrupt him numerous times and get him back on track. So that lawsuit was just a couple of months ago that broke. And so what that's now given rise to is this search warrant in which the Missoula County, I assume it was the Drug Task Force. This office is about two blocks from my office. So when I got a tip that there was law enforcement in his office, I walked over just to see if it was true or not. And when I got there, there was both the city of Missoula police and also the Missoula County sheriff's deputies. And what that says to me is that it was a drug task force operation, but yeah. I don't know that for sure. But the lawsuit was looking for those blank signed forms, and as the newspaper reporter said, they did find 729 of them, and they also seized a laptop and some hard drives and bank statements. And so possible criminal charges that could come from this include forgery, deceptive practices, and tampering of public records.
Wow. So, John, we're speaking with John Masterson, the executive director of Montana Normal. Going forward, and I'm originally from Idaho, and I kind of know the politics of the Intermountain West, and Montana in particular is kind of an interesting state in that a lot of people would think, you know, it's rural, it's country, it's probably very conservative, but there's actually quite a libertarian streak. There's kind of a leave me alone kind of streak in the state of Montana. So with that in mind, going forward from here with marijuana activism, with Montana Normal, is it just going to be a defensive battle to keep the medical marijuana law, or do you see this as the turning point at which we can no longer go forward with medical? We have to push full legalization.
Well, I'm meeting with some statewide advocates next week to discuss the prospect of pushing for a legalization bill in this upcoming legislature. There are some who believe that the press is so bad on medical that legalization will seem even worse. Mm-hmm. I don't think I agree with that sentiment. I think that a lot of the public's objection and legislators' objection to medical marijuana is not the marijuana, but the medical. In other words, it's the sort of farce, the wool over the eyes that people are objecting to, that obviously medical marijuana, while yes, benefiting a tiny percentage of chronically ill people with these therapeutic benefits, it's mostly a smokescreen, for people who just want to be legal, that they enjoy marijuana and they don't want to be criminals anymore.
Yeah.
So I think we've got some rhetoric that we can speak to the repeal minded and say, look, your objections are about the fakiness of the medical aspect, and so let's get past medical and talk about making marijuana legal for all adults.
Right. I've said similar things, like, you know, the problem that people had with Bill Clinton wasn't that he inhaled, it's that he tried to cover it up, and that the American people are generally that way. They don't like being, you know, bamboozled.
That's right.
Now,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, and so moving with this, as we look at the Montana law, what's next? Is there an actual resolution? Are there lawmakers drafting repealed notions, or is this just talk right now?
Well, there's definitely going to be a repeal bill that is going to be introduced. Mm-hmm. I have good friends who also happen to be political ninjas who say that it probably won't get out of committee. One of the arguments against the repeal initiative is that there are big marijuana farms, there are 25,000 registered patients, and if you turn all these people into criminals, you don't have the law enforcement resources to deal with it.
Right.
And so it's sort of a money-saving, a conservative argument saying you don't want to, like, open up this big crime spree just by repealing this law. So what's more likely, it's still possible that repeal could get through. It would be tragic and surprising, but it's not impossible. What is more likely is that a Colorado-like set of hyper-regulations will probably be approved. Mm-hmm. And the Health Committee met throughout the summer, and they were paying close attention to what was happening down in Colorado. And have already drafted a bill that that as they consider a consensus bill. They had some of the big growers at the table. They had the cops at the table. They had the school superintendents at the table, and so they got a lot of feedback from the public as well. And so I think they think they have a consensus proposal in the works. But there are also other legislators who have their own ideas. It looks like there's going to be a bill to make it illegal to have any amount of a drug in your bloodstream that was not prescribed by a doctor. So in other words, I don't care if you're a medical marijuana patient. If you had some marijuana 2 weeks ago, then you're going to jail.
Yeah.
So it's going to be rough, and there's already there's 8 or 10 bills already that are in the drafting phase to try to change some aspect to add some new restrictions to the marijuana law as we have it right now.
Mm. It's a tough situation in Montana, and it's unfortunate that you get one or two bad apples spoiling the bunch, so to speak. We really hope that the state can recover from this and that we don't lose Montana as one of the 15 medical marijuana states. John Masterson is the executive director of Montana Normal. John, how can people get in touch with you if they'd like to correspond or check out Montana Normal?
Sure. We have a pretty extensive website that describes the medical marijuana program at montananormal.org. We do get inquiries every couple of days about from people who want to move to Montana and start a big marijuana business. And I'm telling everyone, don't do it. Wait till the law gets rewritten or repealed.
Yeah.
Don't pack your moving truck yet.
Yeah, let's figure out where the law ends up before you start packing and changing the address.
That's
all right. John Masterson from Montana Normal, thanks so much for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Thanks, Russ.
Hey, when we come back, we're calling an audible. We're doing a new radical rant. We're going to go all the way out to the state of New Jersey. Stick around. This is Normal Show Live.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for making pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook rolls all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Normal. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrests of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org. Our call toll-free, 888-67-NORMAL.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
You want answers?
You have offended my family?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
And you have offended Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth!
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everyone. 49 after the hour. I know if you're like me, you are missing comic genius Leslie Nielsen, who passed away this weekend at age 84 from complications from pneumonia. How sad.
Yeah, it's very sad.
So we'll be playing all sorts of Airplane and Naked Gun clips this week. But for today's rant, we're doing an audible. I'm jumping to this one because I just had to say something about New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie. This came out on Wednesday. They were talking. Chris Christie said he will fight to prevent his administration's proposed medical marijuana regulations from going up in smoke, ha ha ha, despite pressure from state lawmakers to change. Now, this is the state had passed medical marijuana, and then Christie's administration doesn't like it, so he came up with all these terrible regulations, and now the Senate and the Assembly are moving to repeal those terrible regulations. He says if we do that, the rules that would water it down and create de facto legalization of marijuana in New Jersey. Christie said that changes could lead to duplicating flawed medical marijuana systems in places like California and Colorado. Quote, "We're not going to have a head shop in every town and quack doctors writing prescriptions for people with headaches to get marijuana. That's not going to happen on my watch." Christie said he has no problem with allowing for the compassionate relief of pain for those patients who can't find relief through any other legal means. Quote, I'm for them getting it from doctors who've been treating them all along, not from doctors parachuted into the situation with a profit-making motive like we've seen happen in California and Colorado, he said. This is such a smokescreen, and it's such there's a lot of things I could say about it. It's basically Governor Christie is blowing smoke up your ass about what these proposed regulations would do. First of all, you already have the strictest medical marijuana law in the country, Governor Christie. Patients can't grow their own. They can only have 2 ounces of cannabis that they can only get from 6 dispensaries in the whole damn state. Chronic pain and severe nausea, they aren't even covered by themselves. They're only covered if they're a symptom of HIV/AIDS or cancer. So headaches, no one's going to get it for a headache. Physicians also must be responsible for ongoing primary care and not just, quote, the provision of authorization for a patient to use medical marijuana or consultation solely for that purpose, end quote. So in other words, Governor Christie, you already have a law preventing quack doctors from writing prescriptions for people with headaches to get marijuana. Because headaches, even migraine headaches, wouldn't qualify in New Jersey. You already have a law preventing doctors parachuted into the situation with a profit-making motive, because your law has ongoing primary care that makes that impossible. Your whole idea of a head shop in every town has nothing to do with medical marijuana. There are already head shops all over New Jersey. Your law, signed on January 19th, even includes coverage for terminal illness if the physician has determined a prognosis of less than 12 months of life. And your stonewalling is going to guarantee another January 19th passes without any of those terminal patients getting some comfort from legal medical marijuana. So much for your support of compassionate relief for pain. Your unfounded fears of California and Colorado mean that some of your constituents are suffering and will die. Now, what the Assembly and the Senate are really doing, Governor Christie, is rejecting your even more restrictive regulations for the medical marijuana program that completely defy the intent of the law as it was passed and written. Where the law, as it was passed, calls for 6 alternative treatment centers, you know, ATCs, or what we would understand as dispensaries, 6 of them, where the patients can go get their 2 ounces. Your rules call for only 4 dispensaries and the other 2 as grow sites. So a law that called for 6 dispensaries, your rules are cutting down to 4. That's what they're trying to repeal. Has nothing to do with California, Colorado, doctors parachuting in, head shops on every corner. It has to do with providing the 6 damn dispensaries that we passed in the damn law. And, oh, here's the other one here. Your rules also call for those 2 grow sites, the 2 grow sites that are going to grow for all the medical marijuana patients in the state of New Jersey with 8.6 million people. Your 2 grow sites were going to be limited to 3 strains of cannabis. 3 strains of cannabis. And each of those strains limited to a maximum of 10% THC, which is far below what anybody would consider medical-grade marijuana anywhere in the world. And in fact, at 10% THC, the 2-ounce limit becomes even more problematic because patients will have to use more cannabis to get the same relief. No. See, the truth of this is your prejudice against cannabis, Governor Christie. That quote you said about patients who can find relief through no other legal means just reveals you as another simple-minded prohibitionist. You believe marijuana is evil, and a patient should be forced to try every legal, expensive, addictive, toxic, side-effect-laden pharmaceutical first before trying safe, natural, effective, non-toxic cannabis, whose worst side effects are dry mouth, bloodshot eyes, and a little bit of joy. Yeah, that's your attitude, is that they should have to try all the pills first, and they should have to be terminal, suffering, the most debilitated possible patients you could find before you'll let them smoke a flower. That's ridiculous. You are demagoguing a crisis that doesn't even exist to fight for an even worse medical marijuana law. There is no way what we have in California, Colorado, hell, what we have in Oregon could exist in New Jersey. You're the only state where patients nowhere in the state can grow their own. They have to qualify under very severe, restricted list of conditions where chronic pain and chronic nausea don't even count. Cancer, HIV, AIDS, glaucoma, severe seizures, spasms like multiple sclerosis, epilepsy, that ALS, Crohn's disease, they qualify. But again, you have to have your medical record documentation. You have to have seen a doctor, ongoing primary care physician, and he has to be the one that signs for you. You've created a law where a patient has to depend on their one doctor's opinion of medical marijuana as to whether or not they even have access to the medical marijuana. And in a situation where doctors have been demonized about marijuana for so long, and none of them have been taught about it in medical school, you face a situation where many doctors won't recommend medical marijuana, even if it could be the best possible solution for the patient, because they still believe that it's, you know, going to lead to heroin or terrible things are going to happen. You know, we deny patients this medicine because of crazy scaremongering, stereotyping, fears that have been around since the 1930s. You've got a situation here where even if a doctor does want to recommend medical marijuana for his patient, there's some that can't. There are doctors, I talk to them all the time, who would love to write recommendations for medical marijuana, but their HMO won't allow it. Their insurance won't allow it. Their clinic's practice won't allow it. The hospital where they work won't allow it. So we have doctors who either won't sign medical marijuana or doctors who can't sign for medical marijuana in the vast majority of cases where medical marijuana could be useful for a patient. That is why we have situations where we have clinics that open up, where doctors specialize in reviewing medical records from patients and writing recommendations for those patients whose doctors can't or won't sign for medical marijuana. Now, there are abuses. We just did the story on Montana and the abuses going on up there. But that doesn't mean that it's happening everywhere, and that doesn't mean that's what would happen in New Jersey, because New Jersey, being the 14th state, has looked at all the other states and what they've done over the past 14 years and crafted regulations that I don't agree with, but they are strict. They definitely would prevent a California or Colorado from happening in New Jersey. Yet Governor Corzine wants to come out here and tell you that what the Senate and the Assembly are doing are trying to create some sort of medical marijuana free-for-all, when in fact all they're trying to do is to get the law that was originally written and originally passed implemented, and maybe implemented within enough time so some of those terminal 12 months to live patients might be able to get a little bit of relief before they kick the bucket. Governor Christie, shame on you. Shame on you for putting these people through pain and suffering needlessly. You have nothing to fear from medical marijuana in the Garden State, or should I say the No Garden State. Again, this is just posturing by a former prosecutor who wants to maintain prohibition. Thanks for joining us here. Normal Show Live. We'll be back for hour two here live. For those of you sticking around, for those of you on the podcast, this is all. So for Cannabis Carrie and Ganja John, I'm Radical Russ. For everyone at the Normal Foundation, thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. And take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.